Welcome to part 11 of the MVC storefront. This is a real-world application building exercise wherein we're building out an e-commerce store on top of ASP.NET MVC using TDD. My name is Rob Connery. I work at Microsoft. My email is robcon@microsoft.com. Email me with any questions or leave a comment on this blog. Starting, as always, with your feedback, and it's getting more animated and also more juicy. But I'm also getting a lot of code contributions and a lot of great, great thoughts and observations. So please keep it coming. I always want to hear it. First and foremost, Steve-O left a comment on my blog with regards to when I was having issues with Link to SQL and the lazy list. And I don't mean to pick on him. I felt like the comment, I kind of singled it out. Don't mean to pick on him, but it's worth talking about. His comment was essentially like, hey, man, now it's probably time to rip out Link to SQL and use something like nHibernate. The thing about that is, and I wasn't very clear on my blog, very well, a good kind of thought there, but the last thing I want to do is kind of rip the guts out of my application just because I'm having one problem. And that one problem wasn't that deep, caused a small shift into what I was doing, and I wrote more about that on my blog. But I kind of want to caution people against this sort of raise the earth kind of or replace the engine just to get better gas mileage thinking. So I don't want to do that quite yet, but I do want to say, and the reason why I brought this up is, I will be looking at alternative data access in the future, and Hibernate will be one of those. So I did want to bring that up straight away. So Steve-O, you can rest assured you will see my refactoring skills, although if I do everything right, it won't be refactoring, it'll just be plug-in. So the next comment I got was about POCOs, or plain old CLR objects. If you've been following the Entity Framework posts of late, you know that POCOs are kind of all the rage. And the idea here is that the objects that are in your model shouldn't have to inherit or implement any special feature to be used by the data access pattern. A lot of the more popular data access patterns these days, including Subsonic and a couple of others, make you implement certain interfaces or derive from certain base classes in order to use the data access pattern. Well, that's called infringement by a lot of folks because they don't really want to have their model dictated by the data access pattern. It's one of the reasons I'm doing what I'm doing by abstracting the model away from Link to SQL. So Dimitri asked the question, why do we really need a POCO? If it doesn't make life easier, why worry about it? And that is a great question. Well, you know, it's really hard to see, and I really wanted to respond to this. Right now, it doesn't make my life easier. In 3 years' time, it will. When I need to swap out the data access, let's say we're upgrading to .NET 5.0 and it's got some super whamadine data access that I want to take advantage of, well, hey, why not? But if I tie my data access up inside my application, that makes it all the much harder. So I'm really looking long view on this. I'm looking at the developers who are going to take this over. I very much want to make this plug and play. Next up, patches. I've been getting a bunch of them. And Chad Myers left an awesome quote, kind of channeling Allende. It says, you know, if people come up with these great ideas, the first thing out of your mouth is, great, send a patch. So, hey, this is a little bit of a prod for you. I love it when I get code samples from people and they say, hey, and I've got a lot of that on my blog the last couple of days with respect to the lazy list issue. If you have an idea, keep it coming, man. Show me the code. I'd really appreciate it. And finally, I am still having a whole bunch of theoretical discussions, both on my blog and also by email, where people are coming at me with, you know, what Fowler says, what Evans says, and I don't mind those because, you know, as I keep saying, theory is always kind of keeps us grounded. It reminds us that people have dealt with these same issues before. What I'd ask, though, is that, you know, people start recognizing that all of us understand at least a core bit of theory. Theory is good, but you have to ask yourself, is it a law? And it reminds me of the first time I was in college physics. It's my first physics class I took out of high school. And I remember sitting there, and the professor said, all right, great. So, you know, who here took physics before this? And just about all the class raised their hand. And he said, all right, so we all know about Newton's laws, right? You know about gravity and mechanics and all those good things. And he says, and well, you know, raise your hand, said, sure. And he said, okay, well, you know, you can just throw that right out because none of it is correct. And it's interesting because if you think back about Newtonian physics, you know, it all makes good sense. And, you know, F equals ma, all that good stuff is the core of really solid, observable, understandable, quantifiable, highly scientific study. But when you get a guy like Einstein who comes in and he says, you know, you throw that all out, it's wrong. it kind of makes you kind of rethink things. And what are you really seeing? What have you been doing? Has the universe changed or not? The reason I'm bringing all this up is I'm not Einstein by any stretch, but what I am trying to suggest is, you know, it took a long time for Einstein's theories to become embraced by the larger scientific community. So we owe it to ourselves as geeks, as explorers, as adventurers, to think and understand for ourselves. We know that these theories are there. We know that these theories are good. However, anytime we want to think outside the box and a platform changes or ideas change, I say we embrace it. I'm going to push you to embrace it, and I really hope that we have a good dialogue that way. Know that when I bring up my thoughts, it's not in an effort to counter yours. It's more to explore what they mean in a larger sense. So having said all that, let's move forward, and have a nice big long webcast for you today. I'm about to implement the add to basket functionality here for the new site, and one of the things I want to do right now is talk about what that means when a customer adds something to the basket. Now, let's take a look at Amazon and see what they do. You can see I'm signed in here, and I'm about to add a Kindle to my basket. Man, I really want one of these things. Rick Strauss has got me going along these. First I didn't think it was a big deal, but changing my mind. Anyway, when I add this to my shopping cart, check out what happens. It says, you know, yeah, your shopping cart added to your cart right here, a nice little thing. But look what else it's done. It says, hey, you know, what else you want with this Kindle? Check out this, you know, cross-selling, upselling, sideways selling. The thing about it is that what Amazon understands is something my marketing friend told me, is that once you commit to saying, yeah, you know, I think I might want this, that in terms of shopping, they've got you on the hook. And so that you're ripe, the ripest part of shopping is when you grab something and say, ooh, I could also have this to go along with it. So this is a very powerful tool. And in fact, it's what we did in the Commerce Starter Kit here. So if I come and look at home theater and I say, oh, I like this big screen. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come in and look at cameras or gadgets. It's in gadgets. I come and look at gadgets and I say, ooh, I want this Nikon here. And if I add this to my cart, look at right here. We got you might also be interested in these things. And indeed, you know, someone might be very interested in a rechargeable battery, a flash for their Nikon, including some additional memory. So you have a huge chance here to make an additional sale. So we don't want to pass that up. We are confirming that we've just added the item to the cart. The last thing you want to do is just take them straight to the cart, because this doesn't tell anybody anything. It just says, hey, you've added something to the cart. And it's kind of a programmer's approach here. So we're not going to do that. We're going to offer some value add. So what I'm going to do as I implement this is, when you add this to the basket, I'm going to take you to an item just added screen. So let's implement that currently. Getting ready to implement the shopping cart functionality into the application here. This is my product display user control, and this is what it looks like here. It only displays a single product at a time, and you can see that there's a link that is down underneath there. That link is a dead link. It doesn't really do anything. As you can see in the status down there, it's just a pound sign. So what I want to do right now is I want to change this dead link to use a form, and that form is going to post to our shopping cart controller, and it's going to post to our add item method, passing in the product ID that we want to add. And that add item method is going to grab the username from the ether somewhere and then add the item to the cart and redirect to the item added page. It's not easy to say. So what I'm going to do right now is, instead of having a link, I'm going to create a form. Now, one of the neat things that we can do using MVC is we can have multiple forms per page versus our web forms. You can't really do that. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the HTML helper here to create a form tag output. And I'm going to send that to the shopping cart controller. And I'm going to tell it to go to the method add item. And I'm going to pass in the view data ID. And the view data, again, is just a product. Now, the neat thing about using a using statement here is what we're doing is we're taking advantage of the disposable nature of HTML form. HTML form implements iDisposable, and basically what that means is you can use it in a using block, which is this thing right here, and it's a little bit of a scope bubble is the best way to think about it. And when you leave scope, which is down here, it immediately disposes the form. Now, in this case, we don't really need to use disposable on this. You'd want to use disposable on something like a SQL connection, where you want to make sure you give up the resources as soon as you're done. In this case, the way that we're doing it allows us to make sure that when dispose is called, we output a closing tag on the form. So A lot of people don't really like this. It's not exactly discoverable, but it's just an idea that Phil had, Phil and I, and so we put it together. And I'm interested to hear your thoughts on the way this is the way this is used. But anyway, all I want to do right now is I want to put in a submit button, and you do that by going submit button. I'm going to call this button add item, and then I'm going to say add item to cart. Okay, well, I'm almost done. Now, if I run this, what's going to happen is we're not going to see anything. And whoops, that was already running. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just run this and show you. We're going to take a look at the source as soon as it pops up here. And so you can see I have a button now. And if I go to View Source and I scroll all the way down, you can see the form that's output has no action. Now, the reason why that is because it can't pick up from the routes that I've created. It doesn't know how to route Shopping Cart Controller. Now, if I come back into my global ASX where my routes are, you can see in here that I have stuff that's specific to category and specific to the catalog controller. Same with product. And I also have a routing for home. So it doesn't really know quite what to do because there's nothing in here, no default that says something like, I'll show you here, that says this. Now, if it did, it would have picked that up and that would have been just fine. So instead, what I did is I hard-coded that to home. So what I want to do right now is I'm going to add a route that will pick up for my cart. All right, here's my new route that I've created, and it's pretty much like the others, except this time what I want to do is I want to append on cart, and then I'm going to make sure I put out the action, which is like add item or item added or show or etc. what we're going to do. I'm also going to add an optional argument called product ID, and that's going to be for the add item method. You can see I'm sending it off to the shopping cart controller and the index. So now what I can do is when I run the site, hopefully, if I've done everything right, come back to the page here. I hate that picture. Let's see, and we view the source, and we come down now. And yes, indeedy. So now it was able to pick that routing up. This is why you never want to hard code links, because at some point I might want to refactor this store. I might want to change this to be basket instead of cart. But for right now, I'm going to go with that. It's able to pick up the routing and output the proper action for the cart. And now we are ready to go with the rest. I'm implementing cart features in the application currently, and these are the tests that I'm testing my controller with. And I'll jump over to the cart controller in just a second, but I just wanted to show you this is a basic test setup that I've been using, passing in my test repositories into the controller so I can get a nice test of the result. Now, what I'm doing in the add item method on the controller is I'm just redirecting the user off to a different page. So the first thing I want to do is make sure that redirection fires. And then after that, I want to make sure that what's passed is valid. Again, before I show you that, I want to show you two other things. First and foremost is I've added two more cart repositories. Now, I kind of struggled with where to put these. I kept them in the data access here. They most likely belong inside the web app, but for right now, I want to show you I have two additional cart repositories. I have one that lives in the session and one that lives in the profile object. So really fast here, this is how I've implemented it. I'm sure I'm going to refactor this as I go, but essentially it just saves and gets the cart from the session, and then this other one does the same for the profile. So you can use a user's profile to store the cart in it. This will be handy if you don't have a database, you don't want to use mine, and you don't have one that has the concept of a shopping cart. So you can always use the cart in the profile. I'll talk more about that in a bit. So to see the possible ways that you could use these different repositories, in case you're wondering why I would do something like this, is if we come now over to the Shopping Cart Controller. Now, this is going to be the controller that I call from my pages, specifically this add item method here. You can see I've set it up to be testable, meaning that on the constructor, I have some overloads here that accept in the repositories that it's going to be working with. Now, I know what you're thinking. This is kind of a weighty constructor. And this is where we are going to. I'm going to mention once again, I've asked David Hayden to work with me with Unity and inversion of control and dependency injection. I'm going to have a webcast with him on this so we can show how to get around this dependency here that we have to type this all up all the time, but for right now, just know that that is forthcoming. So you can see up here what I'm doing is I'm checking if the user's logged in. If they are logged in, I'm going to go ahead and persist everything that they use, the shopping cart, into the SQL Server. But if they're not, then I don't really want to bother saving it. Now, some people might want to save anonymous data. That's something I'll tackle on later. But for right now, if we don't want anonymous users to be saving stuff in the database, we can just throw it in the session. We can accomplish this simply by telling the controller here that the repository it's going to be using is in the session. So that's just one tricky way of doing this. You can also set this to be profile. You still use SQL Server, but if you don't want to explicitly have it the way I have it set up, you can use the profile object. All right, well, moving on down here, you can see it's just basic stuff. I'm adding the item, I'm calling the services, I'm adding the products in. I haven't implemented the item added yet, but it's pretty basic, small steps with respect to the controller. So my controller tests here are passing nicely, and I can show you that right now. Let this wind up. And so that method is just basically confirming that I'm getting a redirection back. And this one is confirming that I'm redirecting to the item added action, and then I'm passing the value 1 to it, which is, you can see here, the product that I'm indeed pulling out. So if I run this, you can see that that passed as well, nice and quick. Once again, kudos to Phil and the team. This is such a great way of testing controllers to make sure everything pops out. I'm implementing the item added method here, and this is going to appear after you've added an item to your basket and you're redirecting off to a different action. This serves two purposes. The first thing is it serves to introduce cross sells and upsells and so on. Secondarily, it also serves to kind of remove the refresh double your pleasure problem, and I'm sure you've seen this before where you've clicked on a link and a page and it submits the form. If you hit refresh, well, it's going to submit the form again. So last thing we want to do is have double posts go in. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to work on a page that appears something like this that you've seen in the starter kit, where we say, hey, this was just added to your cart, and we go and grab all these related items. Now in my database, let's go ahead and take a look at that. You have a table in here which is kind of a self-mini-to-mini is the best way to put it, where it's called related products. Now, right now it's pretty basic. It just says related. How they're related, in other words, what kind of context it is not mentioned in the database. We just pulled this out of the client's test data, but what we do know is that there are related products to something you pick. So if it's a backpack, there might be a carabiner in there. So we can think of those as sort of a cross-sell. So we have that in the database, but where we don't have it is in our application anywhere. So now what I need to do is, in order for item added to pass my new test, which I'm about to write, that it has the related products, in order for that to pass, I need to go ahead and create some information here. So I'm going to do that now, write some tests, and motor on. I've updated my product model class here and included a new ILIST called related products. And in addition, I created a new class, and since this is so small, I just kind of stuck it right here next to product. But anyway, it's called product related map. It's just simply made of two IDs. I'm not so sure about this pattern yet, but this is kind of what I'm doing right now. And the next thing I did is I updated my interface here in the catalog repository to have a new iQueryable called product related map. So basically just returns the relationships in the same way that product and category map exists. Map, by the way, in case you're wondering where I come up with that term, sort of a old school term for mini-to-mini join description. And let's see, I updated my test catalog repository. And in addition, what I also did is I came into my SQL catalog repository and implemented the method in this way. Again, a one-line, real simple link return for the data. And finally, all of this was fired by a couple of tests here, as you can see. And the catalog service has been updated. The repositories have been updated. If I come down to the catalog service, I have two new methods here. And let's open this class up. Actually, I have one new method called get related products, you can see right there. And then up here you can see that I've also implemented the related products here with get product. What this is going to allow me to do here is, now that I've got the product added, I already know it's related stuff because it's part of the get product method that I just implemented. So now what I can do is I can just pass this data down, the render view, this product added data down, and I have all the data and information I need for a page just like this. ready to implement the routine now for adding an item to a cart, but the thing I don't want to do is pass just the product down to the item added page. There's more data I need to pass down, which also includes the categories for the category list. I am going to refactor that, by the way, just so you know, but for right now this is what I'm going to implement, is just the shopping cart data class, and that's sort of a data transfer class that I like to use, so let's do that real quick. This is my ViewData class that I'm going to implement here, called shopping cart data. And the idea is that I like working with typed data in my view. By declaring this explicitly, that's what I can do. And by having a single class that I pass back and forth, I don't have to worry about any kind of naming weirdness by using the property bag sort of thing. Notice here I just have a product, and I have an ILIST of categories that I'm passing in so that I can output the navigation. Now I do know that the categories that I'm going to be working with in the future are going to be part of a component, but for right now I'm going to leave this just like this. So to implement this now, what I need to do is just simply set up the object call and send it down to our render view. And there you have it. Okay, what I want to do now is all set and ready to go. So what I'm going to do now is just for fun to kind of watch it, because I'm that way. I have unit tests that cover all this, and I know that it works. But since I'm going to be using SQL Server and everything, I like to set breakpoints and watch it for the first time. So I'm going to set this right here, and I'm going to hit play and see what happens. Great. So now I am watching the add item, or excuse me, the product page here. See all my products. Got my add item to cart. It's going to send me off, hopefully, to the add item action, and there it is. And the product ID passed in is product 3, which is what I want. My username is coming out of the app helper get username method that I created. And let's just take a look at that real fast. I don't think I've talked about that just yet. I created a get username method because I have various logic for pulling the username out. I just default everything to a new GUID. And I'm going to use GUIDs for an anonymous user's username. And but if the current context isn't null, which it will be if we're unit testing this, and I'm not mocking it, but I'll get into that later. If it's not null, then do we know who they are? And if we don't know who they are, they have a cookie. Because it's possible that, you know, last time they were here, we did know who they were, and we set the cookie. As you can see, we're setting cookies down below. Recognition's very important in cookies. Even if a user's not logged in, it's always good to recognize them. It's kind of what Amazon does. You can show up at their site, and they say, hey, how's it going, Rob? But they still make you log in when you make a purchase, and I'm going to be implementing that feature later. Anyway, moving on. I'm going to pull the product out, and this is talking to SQL Server. So we take a look here, and you can see it is a backpack. And we have related products here. We have 3, in fact. That's great. And we're going to pull the current cart out. And the cart for this user will be created out of the database if it's not already in there. We're going to add an item to the cart, save the cart back down. And we're now going to redirect, which is great. This is all going very nicely. And so we're going to pass it back off to the item added. We've got to pull the user back out again. And again, pull the product back out. And there we got our shopping cart data class. And we're setting all the information as we want to. And that's good stuff. So now we pass it back off to the item added page. And we have it. And that's good stuff. So another thing that I had to do here is, you'll notice that I'm still using the same product display page here. Now if I go back down to the item added page, or view, let's call it that, come down here, what I'm using for everything is the Render Commerce Control product display. So if we come back in here, you'll notice that these show the button, add item to cart, and this one does not. So I had to amend that because obviously I don't want to say, hey, just add up to your cart and show the add this button, or add item to cart button right underneath the thing you just added. So I had to come down and change it a little bit. And what I did is, if we come back in here to the product display right here, and we go in, you can see I've added a property, display cart button. I defaulted it to true because I always want to display it. And then back in the product display, I just have a simple if. And the way that I pass that in now, if we go back to the item added page, you can set a property on displays like that. And you can see it's real simple to do. Just set it a new anonymous object, and we are able to hash that out and set that value as needed. So that is working as I want it to be. So that's good stuff. Our controller is adding things nicely to the shopping cart, and what I want to do right now is give a little bit of user feedback up here, and specifically right here to show the number of items that have been added. And also, while I'm doing it, I'm going to pay a little bit of attention to outputting a user's name if we know who they are, and then providing a login and registration links properly. I also want to have, at some point, the ability to show a little summary basket right here to the right, shows the, each item itemized out, and how many, and so on. But before I get to any of that, what I have here is a little bit of an issue, and the reason why is that this display element is inside our site master page, which is right here. And so what I'm going to want to do is check and see how many items are in the cart so I can display it back up here on this page right here, in this little number. But if any of you have worked with MVC for a while, you know that passing data into a site master page is not terribly easy. In addition, one of the things that I don't want to do is I don't want to have any logic in my site master page itself. It kind of breaks the whole MVC pattern. And I kind of want to stay with it. One thing I could do here is create a user control. But again, passing data or having it access its own data is not the best idea. The third idea is I could do that and I could pass the data in. But what that would mean is every single page and action and controller would need to have access to cart data, and that can get ugly real fast. So what I'm going to do is, instead of any of those things, is I'm going to use a feature of MVC that a lot of people aren't aware of, and it's a component controller. And we've built in the concept of component. Actually, I built it for the toolkit, and I kind of slipped it in there. But you can build a reusable component using an MVC pattern, and this is ideal. In the past, we used to use a server component that would output, let's say, a calendar, right? You can build the same kind of thing using an MVC pattern and embed it in your application so it has its own logic, even its own data access. So what I'm going to do right now is build a little component to handle this UI right here. So I'm going to do that right now. Okay, here is our new component, and I'm calling it user session because I might have a bunch of different views in here that I'm going to implement in the future. Notice that we have controllers and views. We don't really have a model. We're using the user data for our model right now. But for right now, I have a thing called a summary view. And if we look back at the page here, that's exactly what this is. This is kind of a session summary area. And that's kind of, I know user session's a little bit blankety. Probably change that term as we move along, but that's the first thing that hit me. So it's basically, again, MVC sort of pattern. You can see this inherits from a component controller, and that's important. This is a convention over configuration kind of deal here, where if you inherit from the component controller, then we know to look into a directory called components, into views, then looking for the component name, and then into views to properly render things. So this is a pretty convention-driven, and that's why you need to inherit from component controller. In addition, when you the way we render things out is much different than the normal way that is done with a controller. We don't return action result, for one thing. You can see it's just a void right here. Okay, well, the view page itself is your very typical ASPX view page. You can see I've got nothing here yet. First thing I do want to do is I'm going to come in here and I'm going to type this. And what I'm going to type it as is going to be a user. So it's going to be handling user's data. So I'm going to set this to be data.user. There we go. And the next thing I'm going to do here is to go back to our site master page. And I'm going to remove this page bits right here. And then I'm going to come back in and add this to the UI. So I'm going to keep doing a little bit more work here on this stuff. Notice I can still use all the app helpers and everything else I've done. And once I'm done, I will be able to embed this into wherever I want it to be. So let's do that real quick. Here's my updated UI bits. And I'm still putting the same image. And this time, instead of having a zero here, you can see I'm putting the items that are in the cart for the user. And then in addition, I'm checking if the user's logged in, then I'm going to output their full name right here just to say hello. And then eventually what I'm going to do, as soon as I hook up membership here a little bit more with the login and registration pages, I'm going to add links right here. So moving on, as you can see here, I've stripped out the summary bits, and if we come back in here to our browser, you can see that they are gone. So in order to use this now on this page, it's really straightforward. I can use the HTML helpers here, and all I have to do is say HTML render and then component. And this is going to ask me what component I want to render. And all I have to do is put down this, not this one, this user session controller. So it's in the namespace, Commerce Web MVC Components User Session. There we go. Web .components.userSession, and then userSessionController. And then what I'm going to tell it is to output the summary method. And there's no arguments that go in there. And I believe that is all the parentheses I need. Let's wrap this thing down so we can see it nicely. And there we are. Okay, so we are good to go with that. Now if I refresh the page here, ideally if I didn't do anything wrong, and I did something wrong. Oh, let's see, what do I have to do here? I'm going to pause. The compiler didn't kick off for some reason, so as you can see now, it's working. All I had to do is just hit compile, and it worked just fine. So there we are. And now what I want to do is I'm going to test this, and let's go through the code real fast in the user session controller here. What I do want to say, first off, is that since this kind of uses the old school way of doing it, doesn't return a render component result, for instance, it's not easy to test this. In order to do so, I'd have to mock up the session and a bunch of other things. So I know I can do that, and I'm going to try and get mock working in the next thing with the next screencast with Unity. But for right now, know that what I'm going to be doing is just testing this visually on the screen. So know that I know that that is not exactly optimal, because I do need to have good code coverage here, but that's all I'm going to say about that. But basically all I'm doing here is I'm grabbing a cart, grabbing the user, and I'm rendering the view the same way that you would do with any MVC page or MVC controller and view, and just passing render and passing the user down, setting the cart on the user property here, on the user object. So now when I come back to the site and I add my item to the cart, what should hopefully happen is I get a 1, and that's exactly what I want. So that's good stuff. So I can add this item to the cart as well, and that ticks the 2. And so that's exactly what I want to do. ¶¶